Y'all ain't got to stop laughing just because we walked in there. Y'all act like we got a bunch of money or something. This is going to be fun. Where did Mr. Griesbeck, there he is. Run a little late. Angel, are we on and ready? What's the date, 14th? Somebody help me. 14th. All right, it is June 14th. This is our first budget workshop. In attendance today, Mr. John Priester, Councilman Kent Gwynn, Councilmember Susie Heimbachel. Ms. Rich is absent. She will not be here today. We found out just a few minutes ago she is in the hospital, so we need to check up on her. She's doing okay, but she's not going to be with us today. And myself, Daniel Owen, with that, I'll turn it over to City Manager Matt Brower. Matt?
Thank you. Council President, members of the City Council, Mayor, staff, and members of the audience, today begins an important phase in the development of the fiscal year 2011-2012 annual budget, the first of five council work sessions designed to solicit council input, as well as public input, on key budget policy matters prior to the budget's adoption in late September. This commitment to transparency in the budget development process is a cornerstone to open government and public participation. As was the case this time last year, headlines across Florida and the nation continue to reveal the ongoing financial hardships that cities face in the current prolonged economic downturn. The temptation of cities has been to continue to apply survival techniques to close budget gaps, including across-the-board cuts, raiding reserve accounts, not fully funding pensions, delaying scheduled infrastructure maintenance, using federal stimulus dollars, all in a postponement of meaningful budget reform. It is through the leadership of the City Council and the innovative efforts of staff that we have been able to avoid the survival mentality and their associated impacts. Continuing the good work that began 2 years ago, we look to advance ongoing budget reform and transparency in the City of Ocala. Staff's work and focus this year in advancing a disciplined culture built around transparency, excellence, and personal responsibility has been appropriately entitled Operation Momentum. This is an appropriate name as we continue to leverage established momentum to move our organization from good to better to best. On April 14th, the City Council met in their annual day-long strategic retreat to review and update their policy priorities for fiscal year 2011-2012. Staff has captured the policy priorities in this booklet. You should have a copy of it in front of you. We have captured those policy priorities in this booklet entitled City of Ocala Operation Momentum. I'd like to take just a moment to acquaint you with this tool. Does everyone have that? This is simply a tool that we put together. You'll find on page one is the city's mission statement along with their core values. Allow me to read the mission statement. The City of Ocala provides service-oriented, fiscally prudent, responsible government consistent with the community's values, priorities, and expectations for a high quality of life. The core values, these are the means by which we conduct ourselves to achieve the mission statement. They include to astonish the customer, not just to satisfy the customer. The best team polices itself. Expectation plus ownership equals ultimate motivation. All employees have to understand the business. Stay small as we grow, and be a champion of positive change. On subsequent changes, you will find the five policy priorities or goals that council outlined for staff. And each goal, as you know, had a number of sub-objectives that we're reaching out to help us achieve over the next year. These policy priorities and goals are also drivers for the budget as staff looks at advancing that budget for council's consideration this fall. The desired outcomes of today's work meeting are to dialogue and to receive feedback and direction from council members on the following matters: the budget's format, the budget calendar, ongoing budget reform efforts, and finally, budget assumptions. At this time, if there's no questions, I'll turn the time over to Cindy Kelly, Deputy Director of Budget Finance, to lead today's discussion.
Thank you, Ms. Rowe. For the record, Cindy Kelly, Deputy Director of Budget and Finance. As Matt indicated, we're going to talk about the budget format. The process is similar to what you went through last year and the year before. Well, we've broken it out into several workshops to kind of look at the budget in pieces before we look at it in its entirety. Staff remains the same. We have John Leggy as our Chief Financial Officer. I have Rita Khan as our Senior Budget Analyst. Jennifer Love as our Budget Analyst. Tammy Haslam as our Grants Coordinator. And Angela Sisterelli Temple as our Grants Accountant. We also have the Finance Council present. I believe all members of the Finance Council are here. You guys want to wave? Hey, there's the Finance Council, made up of all the fiscal managers from the different service areas.
So we know who's here.
As Matt indicated, Operation Momentum is what we're looking at this year. So the budget process is a continued momentum of the new business plan that has been set forth in the past. We are continuing the city's fiscal transformation. Our goal is to continue to provide transparency to the public, greater accountability to the citizens, improve the accuracy, efficiency, and timeliness of the financial information. The purpose today is to solicit City Council direction on our objectives for the budget process format, our policies, our key management practices, and all of the assumptions that will go into making the budget. Our workshop schedule, which was adopted by Council earlier this year, is outlined for you. Today is the first workshop, and we have a workshop about every 2 weeks between now and the end of September. So the workshop that follows today will be on the 28th, and that is our Capital Improvement Program workshop, where we will look at all of the capital projects that are being requested, including facilities, IT replacements, fleet replacements, road projects, water and sewer, all of the different areas. At the July 12th workshop, we will visit the general fund, which is the largest operating fund for the city. We will look at the potential millage rate, what is going to go into the general fund, talk about the different cost increases that we have, as well as some of the ancillary funds. On July 26th, we will do the enterprise funds, which will encompass all of the utilities, sanitation, golf, airport, water, sewer, electric, telecom. At the August 9th meeting will be the budget in its entirety. At that point, we will have looked at all of the different parts. We will have Council's direction, and we will present the budget in its entirety to you, along with any policy changes or things that have come up along the way. And then in September, we'll have our two public hearings. The first hearing is the tentative hearing, and the second hearing is the final hearing. And those dates will be determined after the millage is adopted in mid-July. And all the workshops are 11:30.
Okay. Mr. Priest, are we good with them as we go through these slides? Are we still good with the schedule here?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Kent, are we still? We're all right with this?
Yep.
And then you're going to be?
I'm going to be absent on June 28th.
Out the 28th. I'll be out the 12th, but other than that, so we're all still good with the schedule?
Shall I? I don't think in June. No. Okay, yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Okay.
And then if we could get a copy of that again to Ms. Rich, just to
consider done.
Have that and put that in her packet for this weekend. All right, go ahead.
The next area we want to cover is the budget format. There will be separate books for the workshops versus the public hearings. The workshop is your workbook that has all of the line item detail and the different requests. It's the really big 3-inch 3-ring binder with all the stuff in it. The public hearing books are the smaller pretty book, as we've called it in the past, with the pictures, and it's a consolidated version of the work product. We're going to provide as much detail as possible to you in the workshops. We plan to provide to you all of the requests, not just what we've whittled down and decided needs to be approved. We're going to present to you the requests, whether that runs the fund negative or not, and have Council give us direction on which programs they want to see advanced and included in the budget. The capital improvement program will be the same way. We will include all requests. We will demonstrate funding availability, as we did in the past, by fund and by functional area for Council to make a determination. We will tab it out by section. We will have appropriate footnotes. As council makes changes from workshop to workshop, we will provide you with a summary of the changes you made at the last workshop so you can see how they've fallen into the budget to kind of, you know, keep up with the information. We will emphasize any issues that are in the budget that are related to prior audit findings, because we want to ensure that we are making those corrections as we go forward. And the fiscal managers will be available at each workshop to speak to their area.
When will these books be available? The next workshop? Is that
the next workshop will be the first set of books, yes. Okay. It will be the capital improvement plan. And you will have the books to you the Friday prior to the Tuesday workshop, as we did last year.
Okay.
So the clerk will have those books for dissemination on that Friday, so you have the weekend to look at the books.
All right, thank you.
Some changes between last year's budget and this year's budget. We will continue to update the key management practices, which, if you will recall, that was kind of a set of parameters we adopted with how we do some of the financial stuff in the budget. We will kind of firm those up, have some more firm internal controls. We will also be introducing a fund balance policy in accordance with Governmental Accounting Standards Board's pronouncement 54. That is actually a requirement that we comply with that ruling this current fiscal year. So we will see that during the budget process, but it will be adopted by council during this fiscal year to apply to the next fiscal year. And that deals with how we designate our fund balance in the different funds. And that will be a change that is definitely for the better. We've heard the question come up oftentimes, well, how much is the fund balance and how much is that 25%? So those questions will be answered. That information will be very transparent. It will be brought out in the budget document. You will see it designated within the document, how much the 25% is, what we have in reserve for contingencies, what's restricted, what's unrestricted. So it'll become very clear to council and to the public, you know, everything that's in the city's checkbook, if you will. We are also migrating to the state chart of accounts during fiscal year 12. The Department of Revenue actually has a chart of accounts that is established for the state of Florida to use for expenditures and revenues. The city has not formally adopted in the past the state chart of accounts, although we do have to report our data to the state in their format. So this will also aid in our ease of having timely financial information by using the same chart of accounts that the state uses. So we will no longer have to go through that conversion process in order to get the data reported timely. We will be bringing the remainder of the internal service funds into the budget. If you recall, in the current year, we brought the pension funds into the budget. Previously, the pension funds had not been a part of the budget process. The only remaining funds to bring into the budget this year, as was planned for last year, would be the internal service fund, which are our health funds, health insurance, dental, auto, general liability. Those funds will also be brought into the budget. So with that said, you will have a complete picture. Council will be able to make much more informed decisions. You will see all of the funds, all of the reserves, all of the cash, everything will be on the table, and it will enable council to make better tax, fee, and spending, you know, decisions as they go forward. And our capital improvement program, we will continue to track those and make the recommendations for funding, replacements, and renewals. We will have some discussion related to how we want to fund our replacements and our capital going forward. We've talked about in the past being on a pay-as-you-go system. Well, on a pay-as-you-go system, we have to establish a methodology for putting aside the funds needed as we go before the expense is incurred. So you will see some of that in the fiscal year 12 budget in an effort to kind of streamline those ebbs and flows and expenditure costs. If we can establish a methodology that we know we need to put aside X amount of dollars a year in order to turn over our IT, turn over our fleet, things of that nature. Questions? This is an example of how the budget would look differently from current year by budgeting all of the reserve. And it's kind of small, so I don't know if you guys might have it on your screen, you might be able to see it a little better. On the left-hand side of the page is the current FY11 adopted budget. On the right-hand side of the page is what the FY12 budget will look like, but we use the current FY11 numbers for comparison. So the differences that you will see is that we will actually budget our cash balance forward. Our fiscal policy currently states that the general fund will maintain 25% of operating as a cash balance forward. As you are aware, in the first 2 to 3 months of any fiscal year, the city does not have revenues coming in because tax dollars trickle in. The state is usually about 2 months behind on payments to us, and property taxes are not due until November. So we have to have a cash balance available to do the operations of the city for the first quarter. So what you would see is the cash balance forward. Basically, that would be the ending dollar amount at the end of one fiscal year that's available to bring forward into the next fiscal year. The less transfer from fund balance amount is the amount that you see in the current year that was used to balance the general fund. So what would be left from that would be your net cash balance forward. All of the revenues remain the same, the transfers remain the same, the expenditures remain the same. And then down on the bottom, you'll see transfers to other funds, and then the additional line is the 25% reserve for cash balance forward. So 16.8 is the 25% requirement of operating to be kept in the general fund, and then anything in excess of that is in a reserve. Here we just put it in a reserve for contingency because we haven't gone through that process yet to determine what those reserves will look like. You will receive recommendations from us on the types of reserves that we would look for. Reserve for contingency obviously being one type of reserve. Reserve for retirements. As you know, when someone retires, you tend to have large payouts. Sick time, you know, accruals, vacation, sick time, things of that nature. So as opposed to having each department try to budget additional dollars in their area that may not necessarily need to be expended, we can establish a reserve for retirement. We can establish a reserve for economic improvement, a reserve for future capital projects. So the city's priorities can be established within the budget and clearly defined. Again, this enables council to make good decisions and to set those priorities and set that stage up front. So as we go through the budget process, we'll be looking to council to help us define what those reserves should look like and how you would like them to be spent. And of course, reserves can only be used at the direction of council. They are not like another expenditure line item that we can post against. We would have to come to council and say, we are going to go ahead and do this economic project that you guys have approved. This is the line we're going to take it from, and it would then be a transfer to the appropriate expenditure line. This will also reduce the need for budget amendments. At the present time, there are a lot of budget amendments to where we use working capital, and we increase the total bottom line of the budget. This has served some confusion for the public and council as well, because the question becomes, well, where did this extra money come from? Well, it's coming out of the reserves, but this will make that transparent again to the public where that money came from. So all dollars that are available are budgeted, and the question will no longer have to be asked, you know, how much do we have? It will be apparent. Any questions on those changes?
Any questions right now?
Yeah, I think I will ask one. Cindy?
Yes, sir.
As we understand, and you just stated there, that we do set aside for retirees
correct.
The number amount that whatever their entitlements are for their pension retirement. But in regards to those employees that do pass on, do we also recognize those numbers, even though they may have a spouse or a significant other that may be receiving a percentage of that? Is that also reflected in the budget? No, because there's going to be a drop in that number of the actual pension payout for those individuals.
Well, those dollars that are actually the beneficiaries are entitled to are actually in the pension funds. The reserve for retirement that is in the regular funds, the general fund and the other funds, relate to accruals for the employees, sick and vacation payouts. So those dollars would be available in the fund, and, you know, for whatever reason, they needed to be paid out. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Other changes, we talked about the fund balance policy. GASB 54, again, is a pronouncement that we will have to comply in the current fiscal year. In a nutshell, GASB 54 relates to how fund balance is reported. It's an improvement in transparency and disclosure created in the accounting of the fund balance. And as I demonstrated, presently we don't show that in our budget document, and we will show it also in our financial statements is where it'll be. And what's important is the different categories that GASB 54 has assigned. And those categories are the, you'll have a non-spendable fund balance, which would be something like inventories or prepaid items. You will have a restricted fund balance, which would be restricted by some type of statute or law. For example, impact fee funds are restricted as to how you can spend them. You will have an unrestricted fund balance, which would be dollars that are left. And within the unrestricted fund balance, you'll have committed, and committed is assigned by council. You'll have assigned, and then you will have just unassigned, which is basically what's left over. And so we will be advancing a policy to you that outlines all of that in the workshop format, so you can read through there and understand what the different designations mean and what those dollar amounts will mean to the city. Additionally, as we talked about before, the inclusion of all funds in the budget, the reserves, and then our public access. We did go live with OpenGov earlier this year. Our goal is to have that data be able to be updated on a monthly basis. And so that is going well. The data is being received. And as we go through the present process of the budget, after each workshop, we will also provide the PowerPoint presentation on our website so that the public will be able to see, you know, what is being discussed. So we're definitely moving in that direction of keeping everything open and transparent for the public. Some of the things that we'll discuss today are the tentative millage rate for 2012, fees and taxes, revenue projections, growth, insurance, personnel, longevity, pension, and salary. As I'm sure you all have read in the paper, the property appraiser has done their June 1 estimate, and it was an 8% decline from the prior fiscal year. What that means for us is the value of 1 mil is assumed to be at 3.4 million. For the current year, the value of 1 mil was at 3.7 million. And for the year prior, 2010, it was at 4.1 million. So we continue our decline from an ad valorem perspective. Staff's recommendation at the present time is to go with the rollback rate, continue with the revenue neutral option. The formal adoption of the millage will take place in mid-July, as it usually does. The property appraiser will certify officially the tax roll on July 1st. So once we have the official certification, we will advance those numbers to you and get you an idea of what the tentative millage rate will look like. But at this point, for budgetary purposes, we are going to assume the rollback rate, which would be taking in the same amount of property taxes in FY12 as we did in FY11.
So we would have to increase the millage rate, right?
I would assume so, yes. It would be a roll forward again as it was in the last 2 years, correct. The next item is fees and taxes. We plan to provide the same service levels for the same fees that are currently provided. We do not plan any fee or tax increases into the budget at this time. We are actually budgeting a reduction in sanitation commercial fees of 5%. The fire fee is planned to remain at the same level. For residential and commercial, there will be no increase in the fire fee. And of course, as was the case in the last two fiscal years, we will bring the full comprehensive fee schedule forward to council for adoption in conjunction with the budget document. Any questions on fees? Yep. Our next area is revenue and growth projections. We are not expecting to receive any additional stimulus dollars. We did have a large amount of ARRA projects, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. A lot of our road projects were paid for with the ARRA funding. I want to say it was about $8 million. John, does that sound about right? About $8 million worth of grants between this year and last year for those projects. So that money is winding down, so we don't expect to see that again. The SHIP dollars have been eliminated from the state budget, so there will be no SHIP funding in 12. CDBG dollars have been reduced. In fact, we just got our allocation, and it is a 16.5% decrease from the current year. So CDBG dollars are going to be stretched thin as well. We expect tax revenues to be flat pretty much across the board. State revenue sharing should be flat, sales tax, all the different taxes we receive from the state. We're not projecting any increases. The state actually has their last revenue estimating conference before their budget adoption on June 17th. So post that date, the local municipalities and counties will have our revenue projections once the state, you know, finishes theirs. They will be adopting July 1, so we'll have kind of a better idea before we roll into the general fund what those revenues look like. Recovery of any economic improvement program dollars would roll back into the fund for future projects. We do have population figures in. The population had a 3.1% increase over the prior year. Last year we had a marginal decrease. It was like 200 and some people we lost last year. This year it's about a 2,000 people increase. We expect a very modest increase in growth for new businesses, construction, new permits, you know, things of that nature. So basically you're looking at a flat budget. We're not really projecting any major increases. You know, Matt talked about some of the headlines around the state. You know, I'm also happy to report that the city is not in that position. You know, we are not raiding reserve funds to balance the budget. You know, we are maintaining our reserves. We are maintaining service levels. We are not looking at furloughs and layoffs and draconian cuts or any of those types of measures. So the city has been very fiscally responsible through the downturn, and we continue along that path. Questions? Some of the increases we do know about would be obviously related to fuel costs. Our fuel costs have increased. With fuel costs, along comes commodity prices. Some of the different things that we purchase have had price increases because of the fuel costs. That's especially true in our fleet and facilities area. A lot of increased costs there. We also are expecting a modest increase in our insurance costs. The preliminary estimate is a 3.7% increase for our insurance premiums. At this time, the city is proposing to split the difference, if you will, with the employees, with the city potentially absorbing up to 2.7% and the employees absorbing up to 1%. So those are the assumptions we're going to use to balance the budget. And as revenue numbers unfold, we will tweak those and, you know, bring the exact figures back to you. Any questions on those estimates for insurance?
Any questions?
The next area for discussion is personnel. Longevity, we're not recommending any change in the current longevity policy. Our policy presently states that longevity will be funded if the council finds the funding available in the budget, and that will be the same. We do expect some increases in our pension costs, which we did cover at a prior council meeting. We are expecting a 3% increase to plan contributions for each of the different plans. At this time, we are hoping to be able to absorb those increases either within the pension fund itself or by the city. At this time, we don't have plans to increase the pension contribution to the employees. From a dollar perspective, what that means for the city is it's about a $1.35 million increase to the city in order to fund all three pensions across the board. And I will also remind council that we do have the actuary that has been hired to study the pension plans and recommend changes to us. And when that study is complete, those findings will come before council to look at what potential changes we can make, you know, in the future.
Do you know when that's going to happen, Cindy?
It'll probably take about 60 to 120 days to complete that study. The contract was signed on Tuesday, sent to the actuary. We're starting to get the data that he needs to do that study.
So will it coincide with doing this budget, or will it be after the budget?
It'll be after the budget's adopted.
Will we have any kind of idea what it's going to look like, even though it's not finalized?
It'll depend on how fast they can get the work. I doubt that we'll actually have those numbers before the budget's adopted.
So it won't have any impact on what we're doing here?
That's correct.
Yes, it'll have an impact on our 12-13 budget.
Right.
The approximate headcount of the city employees are, we presently have 983 full-time and 41 permanent part-time. And at this point in the budget process, we have not budgeted any new or upgraded positions without a compelling, justifiable reason. And city manager will be making those determinations on a case-by-case basis if there's any department in particular that necessitates a new position or an upgraded position. But at this point, we are holding the line in order to get the budget balanced. With that is the salary plan. As a refresher, in the current fiscal year, what we did for employees is we had an increase for full-time employees if they were earning less than $45,000. It was approximately a 2% increase, not to be below $500. And if the employees earned over $45,000, it was a 1% increase, not to exceed $750. And we used a pro rata share for the part-time employees based on the number of hours they worked. Cabinet members were excluded from the increase plan in the current year. And any employees on initial probation or disciplinary action were also excluded from the increase. In FY12, we are recommending an increase of up to 1.5% be considered based on funding availability. So we are working on those numbers at this time. And there will be some additional exclusions, and as we work through the process, we'll bring that information back to you.
Mr. President, do you have any idea kind of ballpark what that number might be?
How much it would cost the city at this point?
Yeah, that 1.5%.
No, at this point we do not. We are working on the salary figures.
Okay.
We will be bringing that back to you, what the total cost will be.
And the 1.5% isn't across the board?
No, it is not a COLA. No, it will have some restrictions.
But it is for every employee.
Whatever number we come up with, if it's 1.5 or 1 or 1.3, however we can work out the math, it would be across the board for those that are eligible.
Correct. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let me add a caveat. There may be some exceptions, like there were in the current year, like those on probation or disciplinary action. There might be some exceptions.
Okay.
Just some other additional items for consideration. Our recommendation at this time would be to hold the line on charitable giving requests. This is in anticipation of the continued economic slump. It is not unusual to see additional requests of government when the private sector is having struggles. We are having struggles at the same time. So as we build the budget presently, we are going to keep the expenditure level flat at what we spend on charitable giving in the present year. We don't plan to increase that. We will also continue to implement any prior audit findings and recommendations into our process as we go forward. We are going to continue our focus on job creation and creating wealth for the community. And we will also continue our focus on tying capital projects that are related to economic development and being sure that we find a way to work those in and bring those forward to council for consideration.
Cindy, may I add something? As far as the audit findings are concerned, I'd like to ask council for permission to bring forward the audit report at the June 21st regular meeting. break into the audit committee. Purvis Gray and Company will be here that day, and we'd like to take 15, 30 minutes or so set aside at the next week's meeting to present the audit report. It is complete. The CAFRA will be out by the end of June, and we'd like, with council's permission, to actually incorporate that into next week's meeting.
All right with everybody?
Yes.
Thank you.
I might also note that if you recall, the challenges staff had with getting the CAFR completed and issued have pretty much been overcome. We're now getting that CAFR done earlier, the information out in time for evaluation and consideration with the budget. And so staff continues to make positive advances in getting that information out and making improvements there.
And then our last section, I believe, Matt, you wanted to address a few things.
Take it through a thought process to take a couple minutes. As we talked about earlier, many cities have utilized survival tactics to work their way through the current economic downturn. In fact, many cities, as I've talked with my peers around the state, are literally taking a big deep breath and try to hold it as long as they can, hoping that it would outlast, of course, the recovery. So when they come up for air, of course, they can get back to doing things the old-fashioned way. Keep doing things the way they've always done it. I personally believe that the way we've always done it is no longer adequate. I believe that once we begin going back into economic prosperity, that there's going to be a new norm, that we've got to be prepared for that norm. So let me take you through a couple of thought processes as to how I have spoken with staff and talked with them at length about this process. As you know, our economy continually goes through ebbs and flows. History has taught us that over the last 60 or 70 years, we've been through 11 recessions. The worst being, of course, the one that we're currently in, as it is the longest and most profound recession of the 11. So we know that we're constantly going to go through ebbs and flows. We're going to have peaks and valleys, followed by peaks and valleys. We also know that cities have traditionally responded to these peaks and valleys the same old way. Cities, as the economy starts taking off, they continue to grow their expenditures, their outlay, hiring additional staff. And you'll see them grow those expenditures to match the peak of the economy. But as you know, anything that goes up must come down. And each economic peak is followed by an economic recession. A valley, you might say. And so oftentimes what you'll see is a gap between what expenditures outlays were at the top of the economic peak versus what the revenues now are in the recession or the valley of the economic flows. And so they have this gap. And they've got to make some tough decisions to figure out how to close that gap. And you've probably seen in the paper throughout the past year, decisions by cities to close swimming pools, limit access to parks, to increase taxes, to increase fees, layoffs. There's many strategies that they've employed to try to close that gap. And you've seen cities go through the same process, recession after recession, having that same type of gap and those same types of challenges. What I have discussed with my staff at length and what I wish to share with you this afternoon is that we must figure out how we can straight line this between the peaks and the valleys. We must figure out how we can keep our momentum through each ebb and flow and stop going into this crisis management anytime there's a downturn in the economy. And so the question then becomes, how do we maintain this momentum? How do we keep focused on our desired outcomes without reverting back to a crisis management anytime there's a downturn in the economy? And I wish to share with you a couple strategies. I read to you earlier one of our vision statements, which is to stay small as we grow. let me explore with you what that actually means. What that means is anytime we have an upward drive in the economy, we don't simply want to add staff to help meet the demands of that thriving economy. We must stay small as we grow. So one of the things that we're utilizing, one of the techniques, one of the strategies, is to begin utilizing the private sector more to supplement much of what staff does now. In a downturn, in an economic downturn, it'd be a lot easier to pull back these contracts, a lot easier to reduce the work than it would be to lay off employees. So one strategy is to begin partnering with the private sector to do a lot of the work in these upward peak driving areas. Other strategies include technology. We have some wonderful examples. We have the AMI program that now allows us to read our meters, both electric and water, remotely, electronically, thereby bringing great efficiency to our organization. Staff also advanced to you last council meeting a request to reduce the fees for commercial sanitation. That was brought about by technology, by improving the process by which we, of course, pick garbage up. And so we must utilize greater technology to ride out and maintain momentum through the peaks and valleys of a recession. And finally, of course, we must continually to tweak our organizational structure, changing it to meet the demands and the needs. And we also have some great track records of that. OUS, if you recall, about 2 years ago, we made some significant changes to bring efficiencies and effectiveness to allow us to reduce costs and ultimately reduce rates. We're also having a current discussion about consolidation of our communications and fire PD with the county, another opportunity for us to keep efficiency on the front horizon. These are three of many strategies that we're trying to leverage. And I've challenged staff to be innovative, bold, visionary, to find others so that we can maintain our momentum always, rather than revert back to a crisis management like you've seen many cities do as they try to fight these economic ebbs and flows.
That actually concludes the budget presentation. I want to ensure that council doesn't have any additional follow-ups, that you're comfortable with the assumptions that we've put forward that we're going to use, and there are no additional items that you'd like to see incorporated into the budget. Of course, Matt started the day with your strategic objectives, and the budget is being built around the strategic objectives. So we are working to ensure that each of the programs that are included in the budget tie back to the strategic objectives set by council, you know, in some way.
Mr. President, Cindy, you're going to come back and base this entire budget on the ad valorem taxes staying the same, correct?
So
that we'll have okay. Can you look at it if they go down? And we have to
yes. In other words,
reduce
if,
it to
if
3
we
point,
yeah. if we take the 8% cut and keep the millage constant,
right.
Yes, I can bring that assumption forward as well. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question. The reserve funds that we are going to create so that we get that accounting out of individual budgets. Do you have a can you kind of walk me back through that again, that whole, how that's going to work?
Yes.
And what are the funds? Do you have a listing of the funds that we're looking to create?
We are working towards that. At the present time, we don't really carry any reserves in the budget. So it's actually an ongoing process ascertaining what dollars are available, what's restricted, what's unrestricted, what can we use for what purpose, and bringing those forward. But some of the typical reserves that you will see is you will see a reserve for cash balance forward. And that is the 25% that council has established that we need to maintain for operating in that first quarter of the year. So that you will see. You will also see a reserve for contingency. And that would typically be used for, you know, unforeseen events. We have a weather-related event or a sinkhole or something that happens, some type of unplanned expenditure. We will also be looking at reserve for future capital projects. With economic improvement, being one of our main drivers, we want to ensure that when we have excess funds available in the budget, that we are directing them towards economic development. So that when a large project, for example, like American Fresh Farms or something of that nature comes forward, council will be aware, you know, right at their fingertips, what kind of dollars do we have available to put towards these types of projects.
Okay, so then let's just, in that case, so the fund that we have now that we use where those dollars come from, that is going to be eliminated and we're going to do this?
No, the fund that we have now is the Economic Improvement Fund. At the present time, it has obligations. All the contracts that are there have obligated the dollars. It has a small fund balance. The general fund at the present time has committed a $400,000 annual transfer to that fund.
Right.
But the projects that we've looked at recently are much bigger than that, and the Economic Improvement Fund is not paying for those at all. Other funds are picking up the pieces and paying those. You know, the different utilities are paying for their portion, the road projects being paid for. What this would be is, as at the end of the day, when revenues and expenditures are all flushed out and then there's the excess cash that's left over, we pull out the 25% and anything over that, then council would decide, how are we going to use any excess? Now, there may be times that there may not be excess, that we may be hard pressed to meet the 25%. But all of that will flush out during the budget process. So those categories will be determined based on what the availability of dollars is. But those are some ideas of what you would use excess available dollars for. You could use them for repaving, you know, for whatever purpose council deemed appropriate.
So just so I'm clear, the American Fresh Farms agreement that we just approved, that's not coming from the EIF fund?
No.
Or part of it is or part of it isn't?
No, it's coming from multiple sources. That's a very large project, so it's being paid for from multiple funding sources. The Water and Sewer Fund was purchasing the land from the airport.
Right.
So that is your biggest expenditure there.
Right.
And then you'll have some fee waivers, impact fees or different things that may need to be paid. The general fund will more than likely be paying for those.
Okay. This change is then going to, all of that would come out of the one?
No, this doesn't have anything to do with the Economic Improvement Fund. There is no change to the Economic Improvement Fund. The budgeting of reserves is on a fund-by-fund basis. Every single fund that we have has cash. That cash will be brought into the budget. And within each one of those funds, the available cash will be designated. So electric will have its own designation of cash. The general fund will have its own designation of cash. Special revenue funds like the gas tax fund will have its own designation of cash. So basically any net assets that are available will have to be designated. So it's not tied to the Economic Improvement Fund. That was just one example of a reason you might reserve some cash is for economic improvement.
Okay. Okay.
You may also reserve cash for economic stabilization. You may have a disaster recovery reserve, retirement reserve. It's council's choice.
Cindy, if I may add something, for example, let's give an example. We may have a project that we want to do that's four years out, 3 years out, and it's going to take a significant amount of money to do that project. So we may look at the available dollars and actually reserve that on an ongoing basis from year to year, so that when we reach year four, we have that money available for that project. That's a little bit more forward thinking, a little bit more planning and being fiscally responsible, as opposed to waiting to the year when that project is due and trying to come up with the dollars to fund that project at that time.
Right, okay.
Another practical example I think that might help illustrate this is with Project Tulip. As you know, in order to get the property out of the influences of the FAA, what we're looking at doing is buying it from the Water and Sewer Fund reserves. And so what you'd be able to see with your budget book is that when staff advances a plan to do that, you can then say, oh, okay, let's just see if there's enough money there to support that. And you'd be able to go back to there and say, okay, yeah, there is. Does that make sense?
Right. Okay.
Anything else?
I have something that's off the subject, so when we finish up this thing.
All right. Mr. Priester, let me follow up.
I commend you, Cindy. You've done an excellent job so far. We'll see how the rest of it works out.
Thank you, sir.
Can you do anything further?
Right here.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you.
Council President, we'll turn the time back over to you.
Off the subject.
Off the subject. Well, it's sort of on the subject, but it's off the subject. Last year during the budget time, during the general budget discussion, and the particular the EIF fund came up, and I asked about the EDC and how we kind of monitor them and see what they're doing, and how we get feedback from them about what they're doing on behalf of the city. So I not necessarily got all of those questions answered, but as I went through the year, and in December, January, their audit came out, their audit report, and I just took that audit report, compared it to the previous years, and you know, kind of going through it and trying to get a handle on the work that they're doing for the city. And John helped me with this, John Leggy, and what we did was just kind of sort out their expenditures in categories of personnel, operating expenditures, and program expenditures. I just was, again, trying to get a broad picture of what they're doing and get sort of a handle on all of that. And so what we did that, and we created this, John helped me out, and I'll share that with you all. The first two columns at the top.
Is this the EDC?
This is the EDC.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is from their public audit that they do every year. The first two columns are essentially the same. The only difference is that the luncheons are put in one category. On the left-hand side, they're put in the operating expenditures. On the right-hand side, they're categorized in the program expenditures, just because we weren't sure kind of where to put that.
Hold on, tell me what this is.
These two things are exactly the same.
Yep.
This comes from their audit report.
This is the EDC.
And each of their expenditures are kind of categorized in one of those three departments.
Okay.
Personnel, operating, or program. And with the luncheons being in different places in each column, and that's the only difference between the two columns, just where we allocated those. Kind of what I took from that and some of my concerns with that, in November of 2009, we signed a contract with the EDC to market the airport, and that was for $80,000. And under program expenditures, you can see the expenditures that were allocated to that contract were about $45,000.
Where is that against?
This is under program expenditures, city promotions.
On the right side?
Either
side.
Got it. Either side.
City promotions, $45,807.
Right.
Okay.
And
that's the airport marketing?
That was the airport marketing, and that contract was for $80,000, which is kind of stood out in my mind.
Where's the difference between 80 and 45?
Well, what do you mean where?
You said it was, that contract was for $80,000
right,
to market it.
Right.
And this is $45,808. Is there a difference between $80,000 and $45,000?
Well, it's about $35,000, but I'm not showing that there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The where you'll see our revenues is in the bottom column. That's the revenues that they showed on their audit, and the $225,000 represent our regular funding to them, which is $145,000 plus the $80,000.
Right.
So that's where those revenues are. So that kind of, you know, showed, that caught my eye, let's put it that way. And so what I want to suggest and get your all's opinion about this, just personally, I would feel more comfortable if the revenue that they receive from their investors balanced more with their operating and personnel expenditures, and the money that they received from the city and the county paid for their programming, so that it, we were directly paying for the services that they're receiving in return, rather than their operating expenses. But, so what I'm proposing and kind of want your all's opinion about is whether you feel it would be appropriate to have an agreement in place similar to the one that we did for the airport promotions, where each year we outline, you know, what activities and what actions they're going to take on our behalf in exchange for the funding, in a way that we can, you know, measure that and make sure that those things are being done, and perhaps there's a reporting component to that where they would report back to us and let us know what's taking place on our behalf. And so that's what I'd like to just throw out there and get your all's thoughts about.
Yeah, I mean, I Mr. President. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with them coming back and showing us what they've done with the money as far as anything, marking the airport or...
Right, but just have a formal agreement in place.
Sure.
That these things, much like we did at the airport, there were certain things, they were setting up a website, they were doing this, doing that.
Right.
And have those certain things in place, and so we know what they'll be doing on our behalf.
Sure.
For this funding.
Sure. I mean, we have never had that in the past, I'm guessing.
I don't know. Not that I know of.
Have you spoken to anybody over there?
I have talked to them. When I got their audit reports, mm-hmm. then I asked them some questions, and we sat down and had a meeting. They provided me with additional financial information that I went over just myself. So we've had those discussions with Mr. Tesh and also the gentleman who's on the board of directors that is the head of their finance.
Did we invite him to the budget workshop?
No, I did not invite him to the budget workshop.
Which part would this, which date would that fall under?
The EDC has turned in a budget request for FY12, which is consistent with the request from 11, and they are prepared to speak at the budget workshop, and they normally do.
Okay, which date is that?
They will be at the general fund workshop, which is the 28th.
That's the next one?
No, that's
no,
July 12th.
From now. July 12th, I'm sorry, July 12th.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, they can speak to, you know, what they're doing, but it might make sense so that there are no surprises on either their end or our end as far as what we expect and what they're doing, so that, you know, we're not coming back at the end of the year and saying, why didn't you do X, Y, Z? And they thought, well, I thought you wanted us to do ABC.
Right.
You know, might be good to memorialize the agreement.
One thing we other may want to consider, I'm sorry, Mr. Priest, you got anything?
No, nope. We're good.
You're absolutely right. You look at these numbers and say, we're getting $45,000 worth of work for $225,000. I understand that. One thing we may want to consider, just look at it, and I don't know how it will work or whatever, but almost two decisions. How much do we want to spend on marketing, and how much are we willing to contribute to EDC operationally? You know, state statute sets up EDC. They're allowing it. As you know, the companies that come in, they're not going to call me. They're not going to call you. They're not going to call Mr. Preacher and his counsel. There's that element of, you know, the minute
right.
they call us, God knows we know there's going to be an article, and it's
right.
going to be there's and there's. They are governed and are allowed some sort of, you know, cover for these things. So whether it's the EDC, whether it's the personalities that are there, whatever it is, there has to be some sort of, you know, I always call it a waiting room. There's some sort of local waiting room for these people to come into
right.
and say, we're looking at your community, what have
right.
you got, where
Absolutely.
Are we at, one of those things. I mean,
right.
so that becomes, in a sense, an operating. They got to have an right. office, they got to have a phone, they got to have somebody
Absolutely.
Answering the phone. So we as a city, do we believe in that? Do we not believe in that? Do we want to contribute $50,000 a year to your operations budget? We understand you've got to have a place, an office,
right.
all those things. Then we separate out of the $225,000. We want $100,000, $150,000, or $45,000 marketing the city. I mean, what are those? And those dollars
right.
at the end of the year, we want to see if we give you that, whatever X amount of money
right.
we give you, there better be X amount of work done in returning that. And so there's, I mean, that just may be something that you want to discuss with them. Because, I mean, it's just me personally, there's got to be some avenue apart from a local government that captures economic development. I think it's just.
Right.
If you, you know, as a business owner, you're not gonna go up to Lashua County and call a county commissioner and,
right,
hey, I want to come up here and open a business. What you got for me? That's the last place you want to go.
Right.
So how are we going to work that? And I don't, you know, and that's something we can look at. I mean, do we want to chop up that $225,000? I don't know how that would work, Matt or John. I don't even know how that would go. That we're contributing operational dollars to EDC. And then we're doing a marketing or however, I don't know, y'all have any thoughts on that or where we're?
Yeah, I might suggest a couple thoughts. They probably operate out of a general fund, much in the way that we do, meaning, you know, they have our money, the county's monies,
yes, that goes into the fund. Yes, I did learn that. They blend all of the funding.
Exactly. And then they build a budget based upon, you know, that was incoming revenues.
Right, that's it.
And so maybe it's as simple as requiring them to outlay X amount of money annually for recruitment purposes, you know, so we demand that through the budgetary process.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, is that, yeah, and like I said, I mean, I agree with what you're.
Sort of structure, I think I'm.
Yeah, instead of just this sort of.
Let's give them some money and hope it works out.
Go, man, go. Go do something good. I mean, I understand where you're at. I personally still feel comfortable and what. And again, I don't know whatever that number is. Just that,
right,
operationally, there's got to be a little. They just need that in order to,
right,
maintain that face and have that. And so we can. And obviously, as you're looking here, what are we, 225?
That was the regular funding, which was
145
plus
work. So we got 100 and so give or take, we got 150 to 180 in operational expenses.
Right.
Somewhere in that neighborhood, and then we're. So
right.
We're about, that puts us at what, about 3-1 on,
right,
operational versus marketing dollars?
Right.
Give or take. I'm not a budget guru there, John. I'm just throwing those up. There you go. That's close enough. Call the roll. So maybe we try to get a little more even on those numbers to where, you
right,
know, we'll spend a dollar operationally for you to be up and running, but we want, you know,
this
two
much
or $3 on the market
in return.
So do you want to get with them?
Well, yeah, I mean, I can. That is fine. I know that you're
just
on their board just as president, so I don't want to overstep there either.
I get overstepped all the time.
Oh, do
you? I'll just do and tell them to be prepared for, and we're the 12th. You said July 12th is when they're scheduled on their, so I'll just relay to them that, what we're looking at.
Okay.
If that's all right with everybody,
that's
and
fine.
Have them prepared for the July 12th workshop.
Sure.
Any other messages that you want me to convey to them?
Yeah.
Mr. Priester?
None whatsoever.
All right. I'll get with them and just have them, if they got any questions, Matt, for your staff, I'll just have them give you a call.
Absolutely.
I'll just tell them what we've come out of this workshop. We want to maybe see some narrowing of that operational versus marketing dollars. Because right now we're at, what, 40, 45? Is that what you saw?
It's,
I need this copy.
Yeah, and I got to have glasses.
45 for city promotions, and we gave them $225,000. So operation close the gap, is that what we have?
Operation close the gap.
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Mr. Quinn, you got anything that you would want to tell staff as we get ready to, we're starting 2 weeks with this, you know, today was just, we're sort of formatting how the process is going to work for the summer, but that now's the time to give staff some final instructions or any requests that we have, like shuffleboard courts for Mr. Calhoun. So do you have any further instructions, Mr. Priester, anything that you wish to see staff work on when we start this process?
We're going to work it each meeting at a time, I believe. I can't throw it out at once.
All right. We will, Matt, if you could, this afternoon, maybe touch base with Ms. Rich, maybe a little bit later on. She sounded, maybe give her a couple hours and
or get a Snickers bar in or something, get some energy back up, and just relay to her where we're at with this and that we're on schedule. We laid everything out.
Absolutely.
And, we'll move forward if she needs anything, obviously. Let somebody know more than she's been there since Saturday, so
yeah,
we'll jump
absolutely.
On it for not waiting until Tuesday to let anybody know. So, with nothing, Matt, do you have anything further?
I do not.
To follow up, so we're all on schedule. Everybody's clear. We got all these dates laid out. If anybody has any questions or comments for staff between now and our first workshop, obviously, get with them. And as a side note, that has nothing to do with nothing. Did everybody get this
yes.
little?
I did.
Yes.
There's a star.
It's all out.
We have a star.
We have a star. We have a Rising Star Award. Robert E. Roundtree. Matthew Brower, City Manager of Ocala, is the 2011 recipient of the Robert E. Roundtree Rising Star Award. Prior to his arrival in Ocala in October 2008, Brower was City Manager at Santa Clara City, Utah, since 2000. He came to Ocala at the request of then-City Manager Ricky Horst to serve as his Assistant Manager of City Manager of Utilities, overseeing the city's electric, telecommunications, and water and sewer departments. Brower has provided strong leadership and direction for the Ocala utility system. He successfully turned the tide of public discontent. I didn't think they were that upset. I wasn't sensing that. He turned the tide of public discontent when Ocala had one of the highest power costs in the state. This was accomplished first by reducing and stabilizing rates, followed by implementation of numerous policy revision, efficiency measures, and productivity enhancement. The Roundtree Award includes a scholarship to attend the APPA conference or education program. The award is funded by City Utilities of Springfield, Missouri, in honor of its retired general manager, Robert Roundtree. So congratulations to that, Matt. That is a very high honor.
They've asked me to fly up this weekend to receive the honor. I tried to keep a lid on it because I feel it's a team effort. It's not a sole source effort. It's a team effort. There's many, many people that deserve that recognition and credibility.
Yep. Well, congratulations, and keep rising. Keep moving forward. All right. Anybody? Anything else?
Can we ask questions about things that aren't related to this budget? Or are we allowed to do that? Or?
Well, I never thought you'd say, when do you need an attorney in a room? But anybody?
Can we only deal with budget issues?
No, you're fine. That's only like special council meetings where you can't.
Oh, okay. All right. Matt.
Yes, sir.
Help us out with these videos that are on our website. With Mark and Jay, how are we, council, supposed to respond to that? Or I mean, what's our game plan going forward with that? How are we supposed to handle that?
Great question. Many of you may have seen a little promo of Mark on Ocala, Ocala.com, right?
Yeah.
Ocala.com.
And it's on our website here too.
It was on YouTube as well.
It was on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
What our intentions were, staff's intentions, and what I had asked staff to do was, in anticipation of the City Council's approval of Project Tulip, there was going to be a brief window of opportunity that we wanted to capitalize upon and tell the world that we've got momentum, we've got our act together, we can strike deals, come see us. And so the intent was to look at trying to capitalize upon that brief time period and get some testimonials, get some anecdotal statements from people so that we could, when contacting the press, putting PR releases out, they could come back to our website and YouTube and pick those up and put them on their own websites.
Okay.
And trying to share that message for us. We've actually put out quite an effort on two different fronts. We were trying to get this information on the AP wire because it is such a unique event. It will be, if everything works out, the only hydroponics plant in the southeastern part of the United States, and I think that's a noteworthy story. We're also trying to get word out on another avenue, again, like I've already indicated, that we've got this deal done, we've shown that we've got a track record, and we have momentum. Come to Ocala, we can work with you to get something done. And that's the intent behind it, and that's what we're trying to do.
Okay.
We've approached many council members to be involved, and we welcome all involvement. And we have many medians and avenues we're trying to utilize to get word out and get information out to the world that we're here and we're open for business.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
That's a good idea. To be some good stuff.
Pardon?
Anything else? All right.
Yeah.
We are adjourned. Make sure you get the flowers over there, Ms. Rich.
Absolutely.
And